Well, I'm going to ask us just to stand just for the reading of God's word as we continue our series today. And we're going to go to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 8 through 16 for the majority of our time today. And as you're turning there, one thing that I want to make mention of that we didn't make mention of last Sunday, but this past week was Teacher Appreciation Week. And so we want to give a big shout out to all of our teachers here in the building, online. Come on, y'all celebrate. Thank you, teachers, for all that y'all do. We're grateful for you. And speaking of teachers and schools, this Friday, everybody say this Friday. This Friday, we are having student night here at the Bridge for all of our middle school and high school students. It's going to be an incredible night from 6:30 to 8:30. Food, music, games, inspirational word, a whole lot of other things as well. So parents, I want to encourage you. Part of us laying a foundation is to get them in atmospheres where they can grow spiritually. And so we'll take them to extracurricular activities, and we'll take them to dance and sports. That's nothing wrong with that. But man, let's make sure that they're connected to the house of God as well. Amen, somebody? Students, I promise you it's going to be incredible. We can't wait to see you. Invite your friends because it's going to be a great time. But 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. We're continuing our series today called Triggers and Trauma, how to get free from the grip of things that we've experienced that have impacted us in a major way. And if you missed last Sunday's message, I would encourage you to go back and check it out, from trauma to triumph. Today, I want to continue on in this series of messages in 1 Kings 17. Here's what it says. The word of the Lord came to him. Get up, go to Zarephath that belongs to Sidon and stay there. Look, I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there. So Elijah, everybody say Elijah. Elijah got up, went to Zarephath, and when he arrived at the city gate, there was a widow gathering wood. Elijah called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup and let me drink. As she went to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in the jar and a bit of oil in the jug. Just now, I am gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so we can eat it and die. And then Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. Afterward, you may make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The flour jar will not become empty and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. So she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. Then the woman, Elijah, and her household ate for many days. Verse 16, the flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through Elijah. Today, I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue our sermon series, Triggers and Trauma. I want to preach from this theme and thought. You can recover from this. I want you to tell the person beside you, hey neighbor, I got good news for you. You can recover from this. Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness. We thank you for who you are and for all that you have done. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us in a powerful way, in a refreshing way. For those of us who are in bondage in different ways, God, I pray for freedom to happen in this moment. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for all that God has done. Amen. You can recover from this. Now, family, just by show of hands, I want to ask us a question. How many of y'all have ever been at a time or juncture in your life where you found yourself in a situation and said to yourself, there's no way I'm coming back from this? Anybody ever said that just by show of hands? For those of us who maybe play some sports of some kind, maybe some of us have had some type of athletic history. Maybe if you were like me, you found yourself in some game situations where you were down by a certain margin of points. And as you looked at the scoreboard and as you looked at the time that was left, you may have said, there's no way we coming back to win this game. Not too long ago, I remember watching a basketball game during the playoff time, and I remember seeing the score to the game, and I remember seeing, there's no way in the world the Denver Nuggets are going to come back and beat my Lakers after being down by 20 points. And I remember as I'm not watching the game, but I had somebody telling me updates of what was happening in the game. The lead diminished from 20 to 15, from 15 to 12, from 12 to 10, from 10 to 8. Long story short, the Denver Nuggets are still playing today, and my Los Angeles Lakers are at home watching TV. Pray for me. I'm still in recovery. I remember when we lost that game. I say we like I'm playing on the Lakers too. I remember when we lost that game in game two, I literally said to myself, oh, they're not coming back from this because of the emotional letdown in game two. They had it and lost it. And the series ends 4-1. I don't know if you've ever been in a moment like that in your life where there's been so much that's happened to you, maybe some difficulties that have happened and maybe some hardships that have happened that have maybe caused you to say these words, there's no way I'm going to recover from this. I don't know if there's maybe been some loss that you've experienced or some pain that you've kind of experienced, some trauma, as we're talking about in this series, that you've experienced that has maybe caused you to believe and maybe say, there's no way I can come back from this. And I want to let you know that if you have found yourself dealing with that and maybe having those thoughts of some kind in your life, I want to let you know that there's something similar happening here in the Bible in 1 Kings 17. Because here in 1 Kings chapter 17, we see this scene that involves two people, one by the name of Elijah, another that is a widow in this town, in this city called Zarephath. Now, when you do a cursory study of the biblical character, Elijah, when you look at Elijah, Elijah is considered to be one of the major prophets in the Bible, meaning this, that God did some of his most major miracles through the life of Elijah. Prophet specifically in the Old Testament times was somebody who not only did miraculous things on behalf of God because of the power of God at work in their life, but they were also somebody who would deliver messages of God to the people of God. Oftentimes, the prophets in the scripture, the messages were not always encouraging. More often than not, the messages were convicting. And the reason why the messages were oftentimes convicting is because consistently, if you look throughout the scripture, the people were constantly drifting from God. And somebody like Elijah was used by God to deliver this message to the people of God because of the fact that these people had gone from focusing on God, of the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, if you will. They had relationship with God, but like us sometimes, if we're honest, they begin to be distracted by the customs and the cultures of the context that they lived in. The world began to have some influence on their relationship with God. They begin to become more infatuated with the gods, the false gods of their day and their time. And one of the false gods that was most prevalent in their day and time was this false god by the name of Baal. Baal was considered to be somebody, a false god, who many considered to be one who controlled the rain, controlled the water supply. And so because of this, and because many of the people in that time who didn't believe in God at all believed this and began to put pressure on some of God's people began to succumb to the pressure and began to follow, not the ways of God, began to follow instead the ways of Baal. And as a consequence, God sent the message to Elijah to give to the people. That as a consequence and as a disciplinary action and judgment, if you will, because of them drifting from God and worshiping false gods as opposed to worshiping God himself, God says, because y'all think that Baal is in control of the water and the rain supply, I'm going to cause a drought to happen for almost 3 years. So for 3 years, we see this earlier in 1 Kings 17, no water hits the ground from the heavens, if you will. And the principle that I want us to see here, as I pause parenthetically and say this, the principle I want us to see is that when we drift from God, it always leads to droughts in life. When we leave God, when we get distracted, when we follow the ways of this world, not even just the ways of this world, when we follow our own thoughts that don't line up with God's, when we follow not God's word, but we follow our own understanding, it does not end well. And some of us are in here, if we're really honest, you can honestly say, Pastor, you're talking about me, because there's been times in my life when I drifted from God and things did not go up, they went down. Come on, anybody willing to be honest in here today? I'll be honest for you. There's been plenty of times in my life where I did my own thing, I didn't follow what God wanted, and my life did not get better, it got worse. And God was not the reason for that. It was my own decision making. Because whenever we drift from God, it oftentimes leads to droughts in life. And with there being this drought in the land, no water, this is a huge deal, y'all. For some of us in here, we might not think it's a big deal. But if you go back to their day and time, they lived in an agricultural society. So the way that they ate was by growing crops. And the way that you oftentimes grew crops was you needed rain. So if it does not rain, crops don't grow. If crops don't grow, you don't eat. And if you don't eat, eventually you die and starve to death. So no rain, y'all, is a big deal. And so because now that there is a drought, now you have this impending famine that's bound to happen. And later on in Scripture, we learn that this drought has lasted at least 3+ years. That's a long time, family, for there not to be any rain at all. For 3 years, there's been no rain. I don't know about y'all. That's a traumatizing experience if I live in their day and time. And Elijah the prophet is not just the only one who is experiencing the effects of this, but as we see later on in the Scripture, there's a widow who's also experiencing this. But the good news of God, in the midst of the drought coming, the Bible says that God commanded Elijah to go to a certain place, and if he went to a certain place, God would send some birds, some ravens, them Baltimore-type ravens, to feed Elijah day in and day out. I want to let you know something about God. God does not have to meet your need the same way that he always met it before. And some of us have been missing the miracles of God because we've been looking for God to do the same thing today that he did yesterday. But I'm here to let you know that God does not have to do the same things the same way in order to get your needs met in your life. He's providing for Elijah. He tells him, hey, I'm going to send ravens there. But then he also tells him, he says, I want you to go to a brook, and that brook has plenty of water. I want you to drink from that until I tell you to move. God provides through sending him food through the ravens and by leading him to a place when there's water, which is good news. Why? Because it means this, that even when difficulty comes in our life, and it will come in our life, when difficulty comes, when we're following God, he always sustains us. I can't guarantee you that you're gonna have a trouble-free life. Matter of fact, I can guarantee you that you won't have a trouble-free life. But what I can guarantee you is that if you follow God, even when trouble comes, he'll keep you through it, and he'll sustain you in it. He'll give you the strength that you need, which brings us now to verse 8, where we discover this widow. Because this widow now, here, as we see in the Scripture, she's somebody who's being affected by this famine. The Bible says that she is a widow, but as we also learn from this text, she is a single mom who is struggling to make it through this famine and to make it through this drought. She's experienced the loss of her husband. And that time, y'all, the women weren't the ones who were working. It was the husbands. So if the husband died, there goes the financial security that you had. So this woman is trying to provide now for not just herself, but more importantly, for her son. She's vulnerable because of this. She's lost a sense of financial stability because of this. She's a single mom, as we see in a few verses later, and she has little left to live on. Matter of fact, she's gotten to this place where she tells Elijah, as we see later, I'm preparing for my son and I to eat our last meal and die. I'm struggling, trying to do this thing on my own. Here's what I want us to see. In short, y'all, this woman is traumatized. She's traumatized because she's experienced loss. She's lost her husband. And now she's on the brink of losing her life, she feels like. She's lost income. She's struggling to try to provide for her son. Can you imagine the emotional and the mental and even physical effects that she's feeling from this? She has been through a lot. She's experienced a corporate trauma and a personal trauma. She's experienced a corporate trauma in the form of a famine. She's experienced a personal trauma in the form of losing her husband. And when I think about this, I think many of us in here can resonate with this because all of us in here have experienced corporate trauma. Can I prove it? 2020, the COVID year. That was traumatizing. That's not normal. The whole world shut down. And though it feels like it was forever ago, let us not forget how crazy that was. Matter of fact, many psychologists say that the ripple effects from the COVID year, some people won't feel for 10 to 15 years later, for a generation later, because it was a traumatizing corporate event. But not only have we gone through corporate trauma, many of us in here have gone through personal trauma. We experience loss. We've experienced rejection. We've experienced failure. We've experienced difficulties. This woman has been through a lot. And some of us in here today, family, you've been through a lot too. Some of you are watching online, you've been through a whole lot. You've been through unreal things. You've been through unthinkable things. You've been through things that if you told people your story, their jaw would drop. They would have no clue. You dress it up real well on Sunday morning, and you dress it up when you go to work. But if people were to really sit down and have a conversation with you, they would be blown away by some of the things that you have experienced in your life. Many of us in here have walked through all types of trauma. Some of us today, we're grieving right now. It's Mother's Day, and for some of us, it's not a high day, but it is a difficult day. Some of us are grieving today. Some of us are here, and you're struggling to have hope right now, and you're here, and you lost the job, and you're mourning that you maybe didn't graduate according to the timeline that you wanted to graduate. Many of us in here today are grieving, and we're mourning because of some of the trauma that has happened. You've experienced trauma in the form of betrayal. The person who said they will always be there for you, but then they stabbed you in the back. They talked about you. They smiled in your face, but then stabbed you in the back. You experience this trauma. Some of us have experienced a major disappointment in life. You got your hopes and your expectations up, but then everything fell apart. Experience disappointment. And like this woman here in this text, who said to Elijah she was preparing for she and her son to die because of what had been lost. You may be here today and you feel as if your life is over. That there's no coming back from this. I'm not gonna get better from this. I can't bounce back from this. Some of us have come here today and you're watching online and you literally believe my better days are behind me. I'm too old to go back to school. I'm past my prime. I can't start that business now. Because it's past time. I missed the opportunity. Some of us have been convinced by the enemy that because of things that have happened to you, that there's nothing great in store for you, that there's nothing great in front of you at all, that in spite of what happened to me, Pastor, you don't know my story, but what's happened to me, there's no way I can get better from this. There's no way that I can come back from this. But I want to show you something here in the text that shows us something powerful, that in the midst of this difficult and traumatic time that she's walking through, that Elijah's also walking through, that this nation is walking through, this famine and this drought that's happening, in the midst of that, notice what verse 8 says. It says this, then the word of the Lord came to him. Y'all didn't get it. Okay, I'm gonna slow it down. In the midst of the famine, in the midst of the drought, in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the pain, then the word of the Lord came to him. Y'all still didn't get it. It's painful, it's uncomfortable, it's difficult, it's unreasonable. But then the word of the Lord came to him. What am I trying to help us understand that? I don't know if you're getting yet. In the midst of how bad things were, God still had something to say about the bad things that they're walking through. What does this mean for you and I? It means this, that no matter how ugly things are, no matter how much pain you might feel in, God still has a word that he wants to speak over your life. That even though the sky stopped raining, God had not stopped speaking. I'm here to let you know that even when things stop working in your life and they're not going according to plan and it's uncomfortable and it's dark and it's difficult, I'm here to let you know that God is still speaking, that God still has a word that he wants to get to your life, that God still wants to give you some encouragement, that God still wants to give you some hope, that God still wants to give you some direction. The reason why we should get excited about this, because some of y'all are still not excited. Let me tell you the reason why you should get excited about this, because God's word changes everything. Pastor, I need more money. No, you need a word. Pastor, I need a new bae. No, you need a word before you get a new bae. Pastor, I need a car. No, you need a word first. Pastor, how can you say that? That sounds too spiritual. Is that in the Bible? It's absolutely in the Bible. God does everything with his word. When the Bible says when it was dark, God spoke and said, let there be light. When Lazarus was dead in the tomb, Jesus came to the tomb and he said with a word, Lazarus come out, and then Lazarus comes back to life. When the disciples were on a boat and thought they were going to lose their life because of this tsunami type of wind effect that was there, Jesus came to the edge of the boat, lifted up his hand and spoke a word, peace be still. I'm here to let you know that one word can change your entire life.
Tell the person beside you, you need a word. You need a word. No, it's like you need a word from God. Because for some of us, you think that the issue or the way to being better is by going to Google all the time. It's by going to your coworker all the time. And by all means, I'm not saying that we shouldn't lean on wise counsel. The Bible says we should do that. But at the end of the day, do you know what we need more than anything else? We don't need more Google. We don't need more TV. We don't need more Instagram. We don't need more Facebook. We don't need more TikTok. What we need to really change our life is a word from God. That's what you need. You need a word from his written word that he has spoken here. But then you need direct access into him and to him in such of a way where he can speak a word specifically for your situation. Why is this so encouraging? Because here's what it lets us know. That for every excruciating trauma in life, there is an encouraging truth from God. Let me rephrase it and say it like this. For every wound in life, there is a word from God. So I want you right now to assess where you are hurting the most. I want you to know this. Wherever you're hurting the most, God still has a word for that. Pastor, I'm dealing with the betrayal of somebody. People walking out on my life. I'm here to let you know that God says that I am the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Pastor, I'm dealing with some sickness in my body. I'm here to let you know that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who still heals. But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm struggling when it comes to my resources. And you don't understand. I'm struggling to get over some of the trauma that happened when I was a child, and what happened in my childhood. I'm here to let you know that he is the God who is able to make all things new. His word is what you need. Thank God that when we experience hard and even harsh moments in life, God has a word that he wants to get to you. God has a word that he wants to get to you to let you know that you can recover from whatever you are facing. Can I let you know, family, that a word from God can heal an emotional wound? A word from God can heal your body. A word from God can free us from emotional bondage. A word from God can give you peace in anxious times. Peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm here to let you know that you need a word from God to begin to change the circumference of what's happening in your life. And some of you all are here today, and you can testify to the fact that when you were in the lowest of lows in your life, when you were in depression, when you were in despair, when you were in despondency, when you were dealing with difficult situations, it wasn't more money that pulled you out. It wasn't more followers that pulled you out. It wasn't an increase on the job that pulled you out. It wasn't overtime that pulled you out. It was a word from God that pulled you out. And I just want to know, is there about 20 people here online or in person that can praise God for the fact that God is still speaking? Anybody grateful for the fact that it's the word of God that can change my life? You need his word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need a word. Do you want to know why the enemy does everything he can to keep you from coming to church on Sunday and from watching online? It's because he knows the power of this right here. He knows that if you begin to get in this, but more importantly, if this begins to get in you, it can change your life. He knows that if you begin to build your marriage off of this, all of a sudden healing in your marriage can come. Restoration in your marriage can come. He knows that when you begin to build your career off this instead of cash and money, that all of a sudden increase can flow in your life. Grace can flow in your life. You need this. You need his word. So this is why in our house, in our family, getting to God's word is a non-negotiable. Being in church on Sundays is a non-negotiable. It takes me being sick to not be here. I'm talking sick like can't move. And if I can't move, I'm still going to try to figure out a way. It's no shade to online, but it's something different getting in this room and getting in this building to be around God's word and to be around God's people. Somebody say, I need a word. His word. That's what you need. Matter of fact, as we get ready to go into the summer months, one of the things that we're going to do in our next sermon series, in a sermon series that's going to come down the road, is we're going to have an emphasis on God's word. How do we study God's word? How do we get in God's word? How do we understand God's word? Because some of us in here, Pastor, this sounds good. I don't know nothing about this thing. So you're going to have to help a brother out. You're going to have to help a sister out. You're going to have to learn me something, Pastor. Not teach me, learn me something. But I want you to understand this. It is his word that changes things. Can I let you know that here in this text, y'all, it was the word that changed this woman's life. It was the word that took her from one place to a better place. And here's what I want us to see, that in spite of what we've experienced, I want you to know this. You can recover from whatever it is you've experienced. But Pastor, you don't know what I've walked through. You're right, but God does, and he has a word for it. Pastor, you don't know how they abused me when I was younger. You're right, man. My heart breaks for that. But here's what I know. God has a word for something like that too. Pastor, you don't understand how this wound I still haven't healed from as a child, or I haven't healed from something that happened 4 years ago or 3 years ago. I still got bitterness resting in my heart. I'm here to let you know that God has a word that can set you free from it. You can recover. You can recover from this. And in this text, we see this because as Elijah has this conversation with this woman, this widow, she's in this despairing state. She's preparing to die. But it's almost as if God sends Elijah on mission to her to tell her, you're not going to die, you're going to live. You can recover from this. Tell the person beside you, you can recover from this. Come on, I don't know what this is, but you can recover from it. Here's how we can recover from this. Number one, I want you to write this down. We can recover from whatever it is that we're walking through. Number one, because of God's plan. Everybody say God's plan. I'm not talking about Drake, God's plan. I'm talking about God's plan, God's plan. Not Drizzy Drake. Jesus Christ, that's what I'm talking about. Drake out here, nah, I'm not even going to go there. Him and Kendrick Lamar right now, but I'm not going to go there. You can recover from this because of God's plan. I want you to notice what verses 9 through 11 says in 1 Kings 17. Notice what the Bible says. It says, get up. God is speaking to Elijah. He says, get up and go to Zarephath that belongs to Sidon and stay there. Watch this. Look. I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there. Do y'all see what's happening here? God says, in the midst of this famine, I've already made a plan for provision. God is the master planner, y'all. You think you a good planner? God is the master planner. And thank God, because what this means is that even when hardships come, his plans don't change. His plans stay the same. And what's interesting, y'all, is that God sends Elijah on an assignment to this widow, and he's ultimately saying that this widow is going to help you, but also through you going to this widow, you're going to help her. So God has already orchestrated a plan for everybody in this passage of Scripture to get their needs met. This widow, y'all, she's facing the trauma of impending starvation due to this severe drought. This crisis, it seems insurmountable, but God had a plan. Here's what this also helps us to understand. God is aware of your problems and your conditions. I love this, y'all, because this means if he knew about the widow, he also knew about the widow and where her struggles were. He knew about the fact that she had experienced loss of her husband. He knew about the fact that she was a single parent. He knew about the fact that she was struggling to make ends meet. And if he knows about her condition, that means he also wants to do something about her condition. Why does this help you? Because God knows about your condition. He knows about what you're facing, and he knows about what you're dealing with. But here's the good news. If he knows about it, he's going to do something about it. He's already put together a plan for it. He's already accounted for your pain. His plan is not impacted by your pain. He may not have caused the pain, but he will use it and get glory out of it. And he will also use it for your good. Some of us have walked through some dark things. I'm not saying God caused that. What I'm saying is he's going to use it. He's going to use this to build you into the person he's called you to be. He's going to use this to get glory out of, so that way when people see your life, they ask the question, how did you do this? And at the end of the day, the only thing you can say is, but God. It was God who did this. I can't take credit for this. It was God who sustained me. I can't take credit for the healing. It was God who did this. I can't take credit for being able to overcome this loss. It was God who did this. Here's what the Bible says in Job 42, verse 2. I know that you can do anything. Why is this so important? Why do I love this? I love this verse because this is Job talking, y'all. And if you know anything about Job, you think you've had a bad day. I'm not trying to minimize what we've walked through. But I'm saying when you look at Job's life, the whole book is filled with a lot of loss and a lot of pain. And if you're here today and you're saying, man, my life has been difficult, Job will say, me too. But do you know what he would also say? I know that you, God, can do anything. And no plan of yours can be thwarted. Here's what this means. No plan of yours can be destroyed. No plan of yours can be changed. No plan of yours can ever be impacted. Why is this good news? Because it means this, that no matter what it is that I've walked through, God is able to do anything. And if he's able to do anything, then that means the plans that he has for me, the plans that he's prepared for me, the plans that he has available to me are plans that are for my good. I like what Corrie Ten Boom says. She says this, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I love that. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen next week. You're right, but God does. Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen to me next year. You're right, but God does. Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen when I send my kids to college. You're right, but God does. Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen when I go to the next grade next year. You're right, but God does. Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen when I take my SOLs this week. You're right, but God does. And I'm here to let you know, if God does know about it, that also means he has a plan for it that's going to work out for your good and somehow. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. Which means this. I don't have to stress any longer and worry because he's got a plan. Thank God that in spite of how bad things have been, God still has a plan. Pastor, you mean to tell me that after all the traumatic things that I've walked through, God still has a plan? Absolutely. Pastor, you mean that in the midst of them walking out of my life and leaving me, God still has a plan? Absolutely. You mean to tell me that in the midst of me losing my child, God still has a plan? Absolutely. In the midst of me losing a loved one, God still has a plan? Absolutely. Because the pain that you and I experience does not change or alter the plan of God. But Pastor, I don't know why this happened to me. I can't tell you why it happened. But what I can tell you is this, God has a plan. But Pastor, when is things going to get better? I don't know when things are going to get better, but what I can tell you is this, God has a plan. But Pastor, how is this going to work out? I don't know how it's going to work out. All I know is this, God has a plan. And the Bible tells me that the plans of God never fail. Why is this good news? Because for some of us, you have walked through some difficult things, some dark things. And it's easy to begin to think and believe that this thing that's happened to me is going to define my life for the rest of my life. I am what happened to me. No, you're not. You are what God says you are. You are his son and you are his daughter. And he has a plan for your life. And there's something great that he wants to do in your life. And I know right now it's dark. And I know right now it hurts. And I know right now it's painful. But I'm here to let you know God still has his hand on your life. I'm here to let you know that God is still aware of the plight that you're in. He's still aware of the hardship that you're dealing with. I'm here to let you know that God still has a plan. Thank God that in spite of how bad things are, our God still has a plan. But not only does he have a plan, but the Bible also shows us something else, that the reason why you and I can be restored and recover from whatever we faced is not because of just his plan, but also because of his promise. And so when you look at verses 12 through 14, you see it. Here's what the Bible says. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in the jar and a bit of oil in the jug. Just now, I am gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so we can eat it and die. Verse 13, then Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. That is the word for some of us here today. God brought you all the way here today on this Mother's Day to tell you these few words. Don't be afraid. Why don't I have to be afraid, Pastor? Because if God has a plan, that also means he has some promises that are connected to that plan. It means that no matter what's happening to me, I don't have to be afraid. Why? Because God is for me and he's not against me. Don't be afraid. And he says, go and do as you have said. But first, make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. Afterward, you may make some for yourself and your son. Verse 14, watch this. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says, the flour jar will not become empty and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. Now, here's the reason why this is powerful. I told y'all earlier, we learned later on that it didn't rain for almost 3 years, if not more than that. So for 3 years, God is promising, I'm going to sustain you every single day, every single night. I want to make sure that not only do you have something to eat, but that your son has something to eat. He's making a promise in the midst of the trauma. I love this, y'all, because what this means is that no matter what it is that we're walking through, no matter what it is that we're dealing with, trauma can leave us depleted, it can leave us discouraged, it can leave us feeling dry on the inside. But I'm here to let you know that when God makes a promise, he is always faithful to fulfill it. God is not like our friends who say, I'm gonna be there at a certain hour and they don't show up for 2 hours later. God is not like some people that we know that say that they'll do this, but then they don't come through on their word. No, God is not like a man. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Numbers 23:19, that God is not a man that he might lie, or a son of man that he might change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Or promise and not fulfill? Some of us here, this, I don't even have this in my notes, but for some of us, you need to hear this. The reason why some of us have trust issues with God is because we trust the people and they've broken our hearts. And so now because of that, because the people have broken their promises, we now hold God to that same expectation. But I hear God saying, don't you dare put me in the box. Those people let you down. I will never let you down. The reason why you're still here today is not because of the people. The reason why you're here today is because of the grace of God. It's because of his protection. It's because of his provision. Thank God that God is a promise keeper, that whatever he says, he's going to provide and he's going to do. I can lean on his promise. I can trust in his promise. If he said it, he's good for it. If he said it, you can bank on it. That in spite of our trauma, God's promises still stand, y'all. In spite of the hardship that you face, God's promise still stands. I hear some of us maybe asking, what has God promised me, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. God has promised to be with you and never to leave you nor forsake you. That's what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 says. God has promised to provide you, which is why Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God has promised to forgive your sin, which is why 1 Peter 2:24 says that God, through his wounds of Christ, will forgive all of our sins. God has promised to free you, which is why Jesus says in John 8, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God has promised to comfort you, which is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, praise God, the Father of Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who is able to comfort us in all of our afflictions. I'm simply trying to help you understand that whatever God promises, he's able to do it. He's made you a whole lot of promises. Just like he promised this widow, I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to hold you, and I'm going to provide for you in the midst of this famine. He's also making a promise to you. And do you know what the enemy wants you to do? He wants you to forget or abandon the promises of God. But God says, have I ever failed you? Have I ever let you down? Have I ever not been faithful? Never not provided? God is faithful. I want you to write this down, that in spite of our pain, God has a promise. I don't know what your pain is today. Well, what I want you to know is this, God has a promise. God has something to say about it. Matter of fact, I'm gonna give you a homework assignment today. Some of y'all are like, I come to church not to get schoolwork, Pastor. I want you to name your pain, and when you write that pain down, I want you to go find in God's word what his promise says about it. Pastor, I'm dealing with the pain of abandonment, but God said that he will always be with you. Pastor, I'm dealing with the pain of a job loss, but I want you to know that God said he will provide for you, and he is the source, not your job. But Pastor, I feel alone, and I feel as if nobody loves me. But God in his word says that he demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know that for every pain you got, God already has a promise. Whatever you're carrying, whatever you're afflicted by, there's a promise for it. Which means that you can recover from this. The enemy wants you to think that what happened to you was meant, it's going to bury you and keep you where you are. But God says, no, this ain't the end of your story. There's more to tell to your story. Do not put a period where there's a comma from God. God has more to your story, which now leads to this third point. You can recover from this not just because of his plan and not just because of his promise, but also now because of his power. When you look at verse 15 through 16, here's what the Bible says. So he proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. Then the woman, Elijah, and her household ate for many days. The flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry. According to the word of the Lord, he had spoken through Elijah. Notice what the Bible says. She proceeded to do according to the word. Everybody say word. The word of Elijah. Then the woman, Elijah, and her whole household ate for many days. The flour did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry. According to the word of the Lord, he had spoken through Elijah. She went from having little to having much. She went from having little to nothing to having more than enough. She went from preparing her last meal to having endless meals. Not one single day did the flour run out, and not one single day did the oil run out. What is this a demonstration of? This is a demonstration of the power of God. I'm here to let you know that when you and I tap into the unbelievable, unlimited power of God, it does not matter the pain that we've walked through. It doesn't matter the hardship that we've walked through. I'm here to let you know that for every pain, there is power from God. For every trauma, there is power from God. For every hardship, there is power from God. But Pastor, I feel so weak right now. I feel as if I can't move on, and I feel as if I can't press forward. I'm here to let you know that if you feel weak in here, you're in good company. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Apostle Paul, he's writing about this, and he has this affliction. He has this traumatic thorn, if you will, and he asks God to remove it. And God says, I'm not going to remove it. I'm going to leave it. But here's what he says instead. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Could it be that part of the reason why many of us are missing out on the power of God is because we're trying to still be strong on our own? When God is saying, would you just admit the fact that you are weak and that this has done a number on you? Because when you humble yourself and admit that, then that is the invitation for my power. And my power is perfected or best seen in weakness. And Paul began to understand this, which is why he says, therefore, I will most gladly boast all about my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may reside in me. If you're here today and you feel drained and you feel depleted and you feel discouraged and you feel weak, I'm here to let you know that good news is from Jesus Christ today. And the good news is this, that his power is made perfect in weakness. Matter of fact, his power is best seen in weak people. His power is best seen when all the chips are stacked against you, when all the odds are stacked against you. His power is best seen. So if you're here today and you feel like you're defeated, I'm here to let you know you're a candidate for God's power. If you're here today and you feel as if, Pastor, I feel so broken, I'm here to let you know that God's power wants to do something about that. If you're here today and you feel distraught, I want you to know today that God's power is available to you. If you're here today and you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this month, and I don't know how I'm going to make it through this next year, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this loss, I'm here to let you know you don't got to worry about how you're going to make it. All you got to do is lean on the power of God, because the power of God is sufficient to be able to hold you. The power of God is sufficient to be able to carry you. The power of God is sufficient to be able to move you forward. His power. His power is enough. And what we see in this text is the power of God. Y'all, she went from having little to more than enough. And some of us, watch this, because we have been in pain for so long, we have a scarcity mentality when it comes to God. So she looked at the jar of flour and oil. I only got a little bit. But it's almost as if God is saying, that's all I need anyway. God majors in doing major things and big things with little resources. If you look all throughout the scriptures, God doesn't need a lot to do a lot. He took two fish and five loaves of bread and fed more than 5,000 people. God does not need a lot to do a lot because of his power. I want you to know that by his power, he fulfills every promise that he's made, which means this, that in spite of what you feel, God is still faithful. In spite of what you're carrying, God is still faithful. I want you to know that your life is not a lost cause. I want you to know that your better days are not behind you. Matter of fact, I want to prophetically speak this over your life. Your better days are not behind you. No, they are actually in front of you. Why? Because if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? And as long as you got a pulse, you got a purpose. There's something great that God still wants to do in your life. There's something major that God still wants to do in your life. which means this, family, that because of his power, you can recover from this. This famine don't got to end your life. The trauma that you've walked through doesn't have to be the end of you. The pain that you've walked through doesn't have to be the end of your story. God sent me here on assignment to give you one simple message. You can recover from this. I don't know what your this is, but what I do know is that you can recover from this. You can recover from the abandonment. You can recover from the addiction. You can recover from the abuse. You can recover from the letdown. You can recover from the depression. You can recover from the job loss. You can recover from whatever it is that you've been walking through that's caused pain and that's caused agony in your life. I'm here to let you know you can recover. You can recover. One of the things that I love about this text, just in ending this text, one of the things that's so crazy about this text is at what happens after this moment. Because one of the things that happens when, after Elijah does this crazy miracle and he brings this word to this widow, and the Bible says that the jars never ran empty and they stayed full, you would think that that would be the end of the story. But the story actually ends with something else. Because the Bible says in verse 17, after this, I'm going to close with this. It says, after this, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill, and his illness got worse until he stopped breathing. I want you to see what's happening here. A major miracle has happened. God has sustained this widow. She originally thought that they were going to die, but then hope comes. But then tragedy comes knocking on the door. Her son gets sick, and her son dies. And she says to Elijah, man of God, what do you have against me? Have you come to call attention to my iniquity so that my son is put to death? Here's what she's saying. Have my sins caught up with me to the point where they've caused this death to happen in my son? Watch this. She's blaming herself for what happened to her son. That's trauma and trigger talking. But notice what the Bible says. Elijah says to her, give me your son. So he took him from her arms, brought him up to the upstairs room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. The Bible says, verse 20, then Elijah cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow I am staying with by killing her son? Then he stretched himself out over the boy three times. He cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, my God, please let this boy's life come into him again. So the Lord listened to Elijah. Can I let you know today, God is still listening to your prayers. He still hears your cries. He still hears your pain. And the boy's life came into him again. The boy's life came into him again. He came into him and again, and he lived. And the Bible says, then Elijah took the boy, brought him down from the upstairs room into the house, gave him to his mother. Elijah said, look, your son is alive. And then the woman said to Elijah, watch this. Now I know you are a man of God. Watch this. And the Lord's what? Word from, I told you, all you need is a word from God. The Lord's word from your mouth is true. Do you know what's happening here in this passage of scripture? What's so common here is that this woman, in the midst of the brokenness that she experienced, the reason why she was able to see the power of God and the promise of God and the plan of God, because she did one thing that God is inviting us all to do today. She stepped out on faith. She acted in faith. In faith, she brought her dead son to Elijah. In faith, she offered up the little bit that she had in her jars. And what did God do in response to the faith that she offered up? Restoration happened. Healing happened. Breakthrough happened. Deliverance happened. Revival happened. Resurrection happened. I'm here to let you know today that if you and I would just begin to step out on faith and begin to trust God in the midst of the trauma that we face, in the midst of the pain that we face, that's when we can begin to see a miracle happen. That's when we can begin to see a breakthrough happen. But can I let you know this? I don't get excited because the widow's son came back to life. It's awesome. He recovered from this. But when I read this story, what it reminds me of, it's not just how God is so faithful here, but fast forward to the New Testament, because the New Testament would show that it wasn't the widow's son who would be dead and brought back to life. but that it was God the Father's Son who was sent down from heaven to suffer for the sins of the world, to take upon the trauma of the world by experiencing trauma on his own. And he would go to a cross shaped like that, and he would be on the cross, and he would take your sins, and he would take my sins, and he would take your pain, and he would take my pain, and he would be on the cross, and he would say, "It is finished." And when he would say, "It is finished," people thought that he was done, and people thought that he wasn't going to come back from that. And he was buried in the tomb on Friday, but 3 days later, Jesus rises with all power in his hand. It wasn't the widow's son who came back to life, it was God the Father's Son who came back to life. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the fact that no matter the trauma that you've experienced, no matter the pain that you've experienced, if Jesus got up, that also means you can get up. If Jesus recovered from his trauma, that also means you can recover from yours. If Jesus overcame his trauma, that means that through him you can overcome yours. I'm here to let you know that God is in the business of restoring things. God is in the recovery business. God does not throw away broken people. No, God comes alongside of broken people and he mends them back together and he gives them new life. And he says that any person who is in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. And I just want to know, is there anybody glad about the fact that God is a restoring God, that God is a renewing God, that God is a reviving God? Come on, if you're excited about the fact that we got a God who renews, a God who restores, a God who revives, give God 5 seconds of your best praise. Open up your mouth and thank God that we got a God who restores. We got a God who revives. It means, as we're all standing to our feet, it means this, that you can recover from this. I don't know what your this is, but God does. You can recover from it. It is not the end of your story. For some of you, I'm talking to you, your marriage has taken a lot of hits. I'm here to let you know you can recover from it. Your emotional health has taken a lot of hits. I'm here to let you know you can recover from it. I'm talking to single parents in here today. Just like this woman in this text, you're doing everything you can. Single moms, this is Mother's Day. Some of you single moms, God has sent me on assignment to encourage you, to let you know that he is with you, that he is for you, that he is not going to let anything run dry in your life, but it's going to cause cups to overflow. He sees your struggle. He sees what you're walking through. And he says, "I'm not going to let anything run dry in your life. As long as you let me lead you, I'll make sure you have everything that you need and more. And where there is loss, restoration will come. And the restoration may not come in the way that we want, but here's what I do know. Whatever restoration God has is what's best." And some of us are here today, and the thing that you need the most from God is you need his restoration. I want to let you know that you can recover from whatever it is that you're facing. So I want to invite us with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. If you're here and you're saying, "Pastor, today I need a new beginning. I want to start over. The pain has been so intense. Some pain that some of you guys are carrying around here under the sound of my voice. And it's been hard. You feel like you're living in a drought. Some of you, you're not dry on resources. You're dry on hope. You're dry on joy. You're dry on happiness. I'm here to let you know that God is the God who refills and restores. And all you got to do is come to him. If you're here today and you're saying, "I want to be renewed. I want to be refreshed. I want to be revived and restored." If you're here, all it takes is a simple step of faith to say, "I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to let him lead me. I want to let him direct me." If you're here today under the sound of my voice with heads bowed and eyes closed, online or in person, if you're here and you're saying, "I want to start over with Jesus. I want to come to him. I want to experience his renewing power." While heads are bowed and eyes closed, if this is you, on the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. 1, 2, 3. If this is you today, come on, if this is you, you want to start over with Jesus, slip up your hand just wherever you are. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. 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 Come on, this is online for you too. You're here today. If you lifted up your hand, I want to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says that when we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we'll be saved, we'll be restored. So all you got to do is say these words, prayer of faith. I want you to say them, repeat them in faith. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Would you be my Lord? Or would you be my Savior? Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church, can we celebrate those who say yes to Jesus? Come on, I saw some hands go up. Come on. Can we celebrate? Amen. I want you to know this. If you prayed this prayer and you raised your hand, whether you're online or in person, we want you to know you have made the greatest decision that you will ever make in your life. Y'all, I saw some hands go up for people who said yes to Jesus. Can we celebrate? Can we say welcome home?